Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour two.
Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. Across the nation, the phone number 877-973-7425. There's some breaking news right now. President Trump talking to the nation. Let's go
working
listen.
Working with Letitia James, and then was put into the district attorney's office to run the trial against Trump. And that was done by Biden and his thugs also, because they can't win an election because of the borders, because of energy prices, because of inflation, because of Afghanistan, the worst and most embarrassing day in the history of our country. He can't win because of Russia, because of all the problems, because of Ukraine being attacked by Russia. And he can't win because of the October 7th attack of Israel, which he should have never allowed to happen, would have never happened if I were president. Ukraine would have never been attacked if I was president. And you wouldn't have inflation if I was president. We didn't have inflation. So all of these things, so what they do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoron. He ought to be looked at, seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's a fraudulent valuator, where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million, and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business. So he ought to be looked at, and James ought to be looked at, because she tried to get him. She's like the puppet master of the judge. And, you know, our state, this state, is losing tremendous prestige. It's losing its companies. It's losing its people. They're fleeing, and violent crime is flourishing. And we can't have that. Can't have that. No city should have that. And it's happening in other cities, but not with the lawfare. The lawfare that they're doing is incredible. So they could have done this in the case of the trial that we just left, one of the many that are going. Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring, because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring. But they're being run, and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them, and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do.
That's Donald Trump. He's talking in New York City about his legal issues. He was in court. They've set a hearing in the criminal case against him, the Alvin Bragg case, for the middle of April. April 15th, that trial will set. In the meantime, the New York appellate court has reduced the bond amount demanded of Trump from $459 million to $175 million. He is obviously not happy about it and continuing to talk. And while he does, I'm going to talk about something related to it. You know, until I said that I would support Trump in 2020, I was a monthly invitee on Meet the Press. And I would get flown up to Washington, D.C., put up in the Ritz-Carlton, be on Meet the Press, have a fine relationship with Chuck Todd. I actually get along with Chuck and think highly of him. But he had a temper tantrum, as did others on NBC over the weekend, because NBC has hired Rona McDaniel, the former RNC chair, to be a paid contributor on NBC. They've also got Michael Steele, who appears regularly on MSNBC. He, too, former RNC chair. And they seem to be upset, particularly with having Rona McDaniel on NBC as a paid contributor who will be paid to give her opinion and analysis on Republicans and Democrats. And this was Chuck Todd.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination.
Okay. Chuck, look, I get your frustration and concern, but she was paid by the RNC to give you the RNC version of events. It was her job. Her job now is to tell you not the RNC's things, but her in her wisdom, insight, and experience what she thinks. And this was not a criticism that was leveled against Jen Psaki, the Biden White House press secretary, who has a show, an MSNBC show. We were all told she was going to be a contributor. They gave her a show. Is she paid by NBC to tell us the NBC party line? And if so, why is that the Democratic Party line? What's the difference, other than you guys in the press don't like the RNC, you don't like Trump, and therefore you don't like McDaniel? 70-some-odd million people voted for Donald Trump. It's a relevant, significant portion of this country. And Rona McDaniel represented the party that got those 70-some-odd million votes for Donald Trump, who, by the way, the party has nominated again to be their nominee. If that's not a newsworthy person to lock into your payroll to keep from other networks, I don't know how you can justify Jen Psaki and Michael Steele, but not the current or just previous RNC chair. She's a newsmaker of some credibility who can speak to Republican Party politics. And, you know, what I would note is that Democrats never, ever get this criticism. I got it when I joined CNN. You never see this criticism about people on the left. You know, Sarah Isger is a contributor to ABC News. Sarah Isger worked for some time in the Justice Department of the Trump administration and now writes at and works with the Dispatch and does a really great podcast on the law. And when she went to ABC News, there too, they had a meltdown at that network about hiring Sarah Isger, who there's no question about her being fair. In fact, I believe, if I remember right, she was first considered by CNN, and there was a meltdown at CNN about putting Sarah Isger on the payroll there. I think it was Sarah I'm thinking about who was first at CNN. They had a meltdown there too. The media seems very clearly to only want the people whose views they can approve of. And this idea from Chuck, who, again, I think is I like him. We get along well. We don't interact very regularly, but I do like the guy. But this well, she was paid to give us the RNC line. Is she now being paid to give us the NBC line? No, I think her job now is to tell you what she actually thinks as opposed to what the party thinks. That's why NBC News hired her. And there's this reaction. And by the way, it's not just Chuck. It's all of them. MSNBC has come out and said, we will not have her on our network. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of her lying? Well, she's there with you, a journalist. Y'all have no compulsion to not fact-check Donald Trump. Fact-check her in real time. Kristen Welker as well, who I don't really know. We've been on TV together, but I don't know her.
I'll be joined by former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel in her first interview since stepping down as party chair. In full disclosure to our viewers, this interview was scheduled weeks before it was announced that McDaniel would become a paid NBC News contributor. This will be a news interview, and I was not involved in her hiring.
I mean, clearly you can see the look on her face if you've seen that clip, that she's not happy about it either. Y'all, there is a serious and real problem in the American media, and it is exposed by this clip. If you can't tolerate people you disagree with being paid by your network, you are increasingly headed into a partisan progressive bubble. I don't know how to explain this to people in the media more so. If you're telling Republicans, your chairman is not welcome to be paid by our network because we don't like how she treated us when she worked as the chair of the Republican Party, I'm sorry, but that's the way it works. The Republicans aren't treating the media any nicer because your reaction to her being hired is kind of proof that the Republicans were right to treat you as they did in their mind. Whether you or I think it's right, the Republican Party sees an American media increasingly hostile to them, to their worldview, unwilling to interact with them in a free exchange of ideas. And you're just reinforcing that. You're just reinforcing that. This reminds me of, oh, what was the line? Hang on a second. I got to find it. I got to pull it out of a text message exchange I had with some friends earlier, because this sums up the reaction so much so. It's the William F. Buckley line. Liberals often claim to want to give a hearing to other ideas and then are shocked and offended to discover there are indeed other ideas. This is what's going on with the press. And, you know, and again, I could hear people at NBC say, no, you don't understand. This is Ronna McDaniel, and it's the RNC, and it's the sole election. By the way, she said on television she doesn't think the people who were found guilty of crimes on January 6th should be allowed out of prison. That's her view. Y'all, you have ABC News melting down to the hiring of Sarah Isger. You've got CBS News melting down to hiring conservatives, NBC. The media is more and more signaling that they're not for any of us. They are hostile to us. To have a meltdown like this over Ronna McDaniel, of all people, tells you a lot about the media, and none of it is good. I have great respect for these people at NBC. I've been on their television shows. They've been very kind to me. But this is not a good look. This is not a good look for journalists. And you know what's more is it's not just them at NBC. It's the other journalists at the other networks who are cheering on the reaction from the people at NBC. You look at CNN. I like CNN, but with the exception of Scott Jennings, maybe one or two others, you really don't have a lot of Republicans who are willing to be open-minded about Donald Trump. In fact, I've been watching CNN today, and it's all wall-to-wall Trump legal stuff, as it is, it seems like, in the midday section every day now. It's an obsessiveness to get the SOB, and all it does is it helps him. The media, the left, they're all angling to get Donald Trump reelected, and they don't even realize it. When you react that way to the chair of the RNC, the party whose nominee got 70-plus million votes from Americans, you are saying we are against you. Not that we don't like her. You're signaling we're against you. You may not mean it that way, but that's the way it comes across. Y'all all want our side to do better. You need to do better as well. And maybe give her a fair hearing and don't question what she's saying because of the money. Because I don't know if y'all know this, in most jobs, including being a lawyer, you take someone's position even if you don't necessarily agree with them, but it's your job to do it. And so many people do it in so many jobs, we shouldn't punish people for doing their job well. whether you liked the job they did or not based on the opinions they had at the time. Now you got her on your payroll, and you can ask her probative questions about her opinion, not the RNC's opinion, and see where she disagrees with the things she said as chair. It would make for great TV instead of having the meltdown over her being on the payroll.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Yes, you can. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. I want to go take Dennis's phone call right now. Welcome to the show, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing good, Eric. How about yourself?
Great.
Good. You know, going back to the just before the break, you know, they were talking about, you know, EV vehicles and stuff like that. And, I mean, my point is, it's like, you know, I've got a son that's going to college. And, you know, when you've got a child that's in high school and just getting ready to get a driver's license, or they're going to college, you can't afford to go out and buy an EV vehicle for them to go to school. Now, I live in Dahlonega, and we got a university up here, and it's like the kids here aren't driving EVs. You're looking for used vehicles. You're looking for a Honda, you know, or a Toyota or something like that, that you can get your child so that they can have something to drive that's reliable. But you can't go out and buy a $40,000 or $50,000 car for them. Now, you got a bunch of millionaires up there in Washington, D.C. It seems like everybody that goes up there ends up becoming a millionaire. And they're making decisions for people like us that are sitting here. It's like, hey, I'm just trying to get a vehicle for my son so he can go back and forth to school, you know, put some new tires on it, change the oil and stuff like that.
Yeah, look,
so I just can't understand.
It's alienating to the middle class and to parents who are in a position to help their kids get their first car. It's you don't even have a market, even with for example, Hertz pushing so many of their Teslas into the used car market. It's not actually driving down prices significantly, and you're not going to get your kid a Tesla as their first car. You want something cheap and reliable.
Right. And you're helping your son or your daughter to, you know, like my next door neighbors up here, you know, I mean, I got five college kids that live next door to me, you know, they're not driving brand new vehicles.
Right.
You know, I see their parents pull in to help them unload, you know, furniture and stuff like that to move into these houses, you know, and they get a car so they can get back and forth to school. But it's like, you got these elites up there in Washington, D.C. that are trying to make decisions for common guy. You know,
well,
what I mean,
I got to let you go there, Dennis. I appreciate it. It is so much. Well said. It is the elite trying to make decisions for everyone else. We've moved into a point where the Democrats favor now a technocracy of technocrats making decisions for us instead of us making decisions in the free market. So we've got to get away from this. You know, speaking of the free market, Old Glory Bank has entered the free market, shaking things up as a bank. It's my bank, and I'm so glad to have them as an advertiser because I really do love them. I've got a no-fee checking and a no-fee savings account, and they've got this incredible banking bill of rights. If you go to oldglorybank.com, in addition to opening a bank account in like 8 minutes or less, you can see their banking bill of rights. They're not going to share your information with the government. They're not going to cancel your account because of who you are and who you do business with. They're not going to restrict the sorts of legal transactions you can make through the bank. Go see it at oldglorybank.com and get an account with them. Y'all, their online bill pay is great. Their budgeting tools are fantastic. I've really enjoyed having an account with them, one for my kids. They make it easy to deposit cash around the country. Oldglorybank.com. OldGloryBank.com, the website. Go get an account. If you're looking for a bank or you want one for your kids where they're not going to get eaten up with fees, OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Terms and conditions apply.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
crispy crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret cane sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I would be delighted to have you. We got to move on to the Moscow terrorist attack. And kind of the wild conspiracy theorizing that's out there. Let me start this topic with something completely unrelated. Kate Middleton disappeared for a while. We knew she was having abdominal surgery. And then no one saw her again. There were a massive number of conspiracy theories of what was going on. Stephen Colbert floated the idea of her husband having an affair. In fact, the woman who he named as having the affair with is now threatening a defamation lawsuit, as she should. I know people who saw the picture of the Princess of Wales with the Princess of Wales at a farmer's market and were convinced it was a body double. They were convinced it doesn't quite look like her. Well, you know, if you've been recovering from abdominal surgery over a month or so, you probably lost a lot of weight. There were a massive number of conspiracy theories. And the first thing you got to ask yourself is, why do people even care about these individuals? Yes, I realize British royal family, but the number of Americans who are emotionally invested in peddling a conspiracy theory. It's kind of wild, actually. Or, you know, so Candace Owen, the anti-Semite, is pushing a story that the president of France's wife is actually transgender, is actually a man. Because a psychic, a French psychic, says so and was sued. And because they were sued to get this person and a supposed independent journalist to shut up, well, it must be true. Why would they be silencing them? And so pushing these conspiracy theories. There are reasons people push conspiracy theories. Oftentimes it's because they think the world is more complex than it is, and so they've got to make things more complex in their mind. Sometimes it's because the world is complex, and they want to simplify it. And very often it's because they can't recognize a coincidence or unrelated series of events, and so they've got to string them all together in a grand conspiracy, tying the strings together to make a comprehensive worldview that's based on conspiracy, because it's the only way their mind can process things. Because if you have a series of separate events at the same time that aren't related, it can bother you more than if you can sleep at night knowing they are related. If you believe that at night all of these series of wild things that are happening are actually controlled by the Illuminati who have a master plan, you're far more likely to sleep well at night than to realize we live in a world of random chance and events and chaos. The chaos keeps you awake at night, so you might as well synthesize it and rationalize it into a conspiracy theory so you sleep well at night knowing at least it's part of someone's plan, never mind God's plan. There's some group of people pulling strings on the planet. People go for conspiracies for all sorts of reasons, but those tend to be it. You got to believe that there can't be coincidences. You got to make the simple complex or the complex simple, and you want someone to blame. That's why the Jews are always in conspiracy theories, because everybody wants somebody to blame. It's easy to blame the Jews. That's what Candace Owen does. Vladimir Putin wants conspiracy theories to affect his war agenda. Several weeks ago, the United States informed its counterparts in Moscow that our intelligence chatter had picked up ISIS planning a terrorist attack in Moscow. In fact, we advised the Americans who were still in Moscow, the few who remained, to avoid large gatherings because we believe there was a terrorist attack. Well, there was a terrorist attack. So, ISIS-K, the Islamic State Khorasan, it is the Islamic State. Remember, for a while, it was ISIL, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Then it was ISIS. Now it's the Islamic State Khorasan. Khorasan is a territory in Pakistan and in Afghanistan. They were responsible for terrorist attacks in Afghanistan. They hate the Taliban. In fact, the founding members of ISIS-K are people who were in the Taliban and decided to hate the Taliban, that the Taliban had lost their way, and they are the more pure Islamic radicals. And they decided to blow up a concert venue in Moscow, over 140 dead, over 150 injured. And Vladimir Putin has come out and said, well, actually, it was Ukraine that did it. Now, from what the news reports right now suggest, that even in Moscow and in St. Petersburg and the like, the Russians don't actually buy that Ukraine did this. The war PR for Vladimir Putin is not going as well as he would like, and nobody really believes him. It's clearly the terrorists. However, you do have to remember that, y'all know how Vladimir Putin came to power? We now know he was responsible, Vladimir Putin was, for the explosion of apartment building that killed a lot of people. He was headed into politics, running for president, and Islamic radicals in Chechnya, Chechen separatists, blew up an apartment building in Moscow, a terrorist attack, killed a lot of people. And it turns out, years later, it became apparent that it was actually Vladimir Putin who had staged the attack, wanted to go to war with the Chechen Islamic radicals. See, what gets lost here, because we don't spend a lot of time talking about foreign policy, is the Russians hate Islamic radicals as well, because southern Russia has become overrun with Islamic radicals. The Chechen provinces have breakaway separatists who are Islamic, and a lot of them went to Syria. So one of the reasons the Russians have been engaged helping the Syrians is because a lot of the Chechen separatists went to Syria to develop war fighting skills to take the fight back to Moscow. And so the Russians got involved in Syria's behalf. Now, they were allies to begin with, but the Russians went in there more than they otherwise would have to stamp out the Islamic extremists who would otherwise then turn around and go back to Moscow and start blowing things up. But Vladimir Putin wants to blame the Ukrainians. Now, Vladimir Putin, of course, can use this to blame the Ukrainians. What's more amazing are the Americans who are spreading conspiracy theories about it. It's like the Kate Middleton, or the Princess of Wales. She's not Kate Middleton anymore. Princess Catherine, I guess we should say. People want to spread conspiracy theories, and some people on the right are echoing Putin's Ukraine conspiracy theory. But what I find more interesting and more striking is how you have people on the right praising the Russian response. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the Russian security forces caught the perpetrators. And they video this. I did not watch the video. I unfortunately saw a picture afterwards. One of the Russian security forces, or several of them, they held down one of the terrorists who did this in the concert hall. They cut off his ear, and then they forcibly fed him his ear. They made him eat his own ear. What I find very notable about this is that a large segment of people on the right who cheered that brutality on are also on Hamas's side and saying Israel needs to stop its genocide in Gaza. It's very weird to see this weird strain in the Venn diagram of pro-Russia anti-Semites. they're praising the brutality of Russia against these Islamic radicals and the Russian brutality against Ukraine. There's a report out today that in one area that Russia is trying to conquer in Ukraine, they killed a bunch of Ukrainian men, tied them to the bottom of a rope, and dragged them through a village by helicopter. So their bodies were dangling over the streets so people could see the message from Moscow that we're going to do this to you if you don't surrender. And you got all these people cheering on this awfulness from the Russians there, who are like, oh my gosh, we can't have Israel go after Hamas. This is genocide. There's this wild, growing, festering anti-Semitism on the right, and the horseshoe theory, they're sounding very much like the left. It's not just Candace Owen. It goes beyond Candace Owen, this festering anti-Semitism on the right. We got to be mindful of it on our side. And there's this weird dynamic now, this festering anti-Semitism that is also very pro-Russia. It's very sick to see. It's very revealing to see. It's very sad to see. That gets me, of course, into the Moscow or into the Hamas-Israel situation where, you know, I mean, this is, you've got the anti-Semite Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Listen to this.
They also, Israeli officials also argue, this war could end tomorrow if Hamas freed the hostages and laid down the arms. Do you disagree?
I do disagree, because when we are talking about famine, the actions of Hamas should not be tied to whether a three-year-old can eat. The actions of Hamas do not justify forcing thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to eat grass as their bodies consume themselves.
Whatever. Yes, Hamas's actions do cause that because Hamas provoked a war. If Hamas surrendered tomorrow, none of these things would happen. And by the way, Hamas did a very good job of keeping food from the people of Gaza and giving it to Hamas loyalists. Here's Marco Rubio.
I continue to do everything I can from my end to keep it from becoming that. I'll be frank. I think the president is worried about losing Minnesota and Michigan. He's getting a lot of pressure from the pro-Hamas wing of the Democratic Party, a lot of activists and people like that. You know, he's getting heckled at speeches. He's hearing a lot of complaints. And so I think he's trying to have it both ways, still stick with Israel to some extent, but also do things that signal to these people and try to appease them. I saw yesterday Secretary Blinken was overseas, protesters outside of his hotel. I saw at the State of the Union where these pro-Hamas people were trying to block the president from getting to the State of the Union. They're under a lot of political pressure, and that's what's happening here. But Israel has to win. They have 90,000 displaced Israelis in their own country just in the northern region because of Hezbollah. And who's going to move back to any of these kibbutzes near Gaza unless Hamas is eliminated? You cannot have a country in which this threat continues to exist. They have to finish this job. And this fighting can end tomorrow. You want a ceasefire in Gaza? It's very simple. Hamas just surrender. No one's calling for Hamas to surrender and lay down their arms. That would end the conflict. That would end the conflict immediately.
It would, and morally clear here, unlike Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who tries to say it has nothing to do with the situation on the ground in Gaza, has everything, what Hamas did has everything to do with it. Moral cretin when it comes to these things, she is. Goodness gracious. Now, I got to get out of here on commercial break, but first, I got to tell you about my longtime relationship with Stamps.com. For 20 of 25 years since they've been in business, I've been an on-again, off-again user of Stamps.com. There have been phases in my life and legal career when I left my law practice where I didn't need them, and so I could cancel, because you don't sign a long-term commitment. It's kind of a no-brainer. Over a million businesses use Stamps.com. You can, too. All you need is a computer and a printer. They're going to even send you a free scale, and you can ship packages, schedule them through Stamps.com, through a dashboard. You can find the cheapest rate. You can find the fastest rate from different carriers, and you save money. You can access the USPS and UPS mailing services you need to run your business right from your computer, day or night. You don't have to go drive to their business location. You don't have to stand in line. You don't have to wait. You get up to 89% off post office UPS rates. You can order shipping and mailing supplies from Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code ERIC. You get a free trial, four-week free postage, free digital scale, no long-term commitment, no contract. Again, I've used them on and off for 20 years when I haven't needed them because I wasn't doing a lot of package shipping. I canceled my account. When I suddenly rev back up my business, I have it right now, Stamps.com. I ship a lot with Stamps.com. So go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, enter code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. at the top of the page at stamps.com. You will get a free digital scale, some postage. You will get a no contract situation with stamps.com where you can cancel at any time, but you can get shipping and saving today with stamps.com by clicking the microphone, put it in Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, delighted to have you. Y'all, Kamala Harris remains an idiot, and she continues to say just some of the dumbest stuff. Just listen to this exchange on ABC News.
We have been clear in multiple conversations and in every way that any major military operation in Rafah would be a huge mistake. Let me tell you something. I have studied the maps. There's nowhere for those folks to go. And we're looking at about 1.5 million people in Rafah who are there because they were told to go there, most of them. And so we've been very clear that it would be a mistake to move into Rafah with any type of military operation.
She studied the maps, y'all. There's nowhere for those people to go. She studied the maps.
If you're watching any level of news, even social media, you're seeing everything that's going on right now in the Ukraine. Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. Europe is a landmass called a continent. And Ukraine is next to another country called Russia. And Russia is a bigger country.
Is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So
the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout. Oh my gosh. Kamala Harris. We would have to, she really is a like she, I think, watched the HBO series Veep and decided that she was going to model her vice presidency on Veep.
And now, Deep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
With each day, renew our commitment to the urgency of now and the ability that we have collectively, all of us in it together, to do something about it.
That was Deep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Wow. Just wow. We got to update our Deep Thoughts by Kamala Harris because she keeps expanding those deep thoughts. Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Wow.